You could join us tonight on a Bible study. We're going into the 26th chapter of the book of Leviticus tonight to kick it off. And before we go there, we'd like to make a very important announcement for you. We're going to be in the Passover Festival in Andrews, North Carolina on the 25th of May. That will be this coming Saturday evening. We will begin 8 glorious days of fellowship in Andrews, North Carolina. If you would like to attend the fellowship Passover feast, we're keeping the second Passover, by the way. It will be the second moon, full moon, after the equinox, the spring equinox, and we are right on time. Praise God. It begins Saturday night, old-fashioned foot washing, and we will be there for 8 glorious days. If you'd like directions to Andrews, North Carolina, and telephone numbers, and or motel facilities, then you can call the Shepherd's Call Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Or you can call in Andrews, North Carolina, Dr. Jack at area code 828-321-1010. That's area code 423, or that's area code 828-321-1010. So make your plans to be with us. If you can attend all 8 glorious days, they have camping facilities. You can pitch your tent there and camp out in the great, wonderful, beautiful Smoky Mountains area of Andrews, North Carolina. So make your plans to attend and fellowship with us. We're having an old-fashioned water baptizing in Andrews. During the feast, there will be a baptizing service, and you're welcome to join the family in the mighty, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And we will have Bible teachings. There will be bluegrass music, gospel music style of singing, old mountain music playing, praise Yahweh. We're going to have dancing and fellowship and games and joy and eating and feasting with the Passover of Andrews, North Carolina on the 25th of May beginning. And we will go for 8 glorious days there in fellowship. So we would like to invite you to attend our services. Now, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1, you shall make no idols nor graven images. Neither rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am Yahweh your God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would wonder today, by all of these images and things that we've got set up in the land, you know, these places to view or to go to and to pay homage to, I wonder if our Heavenly Father is pleased with all these images that we have. But I'm particularly interested tonight in verse 2. And I like to entitle our message, The Secret Times of Sabbath. Yes, the secret times of Sabbath. The Bible said straight is a way and narrow is a gate and a few there be that find it. Tonight we're going to get into the times and seasons and the laws and the commandments and statutes of our Heavenly Father. You say, Pastor Buddy, do you believe it's actually important? Does it really matter what day that you come together to fellowship and worship on? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we are pitching horseshoes, that means getting close. But we're not pitching horseshoes here. We are trying our best to come into the realm of believing the Heavenly Father and obeying His precious word to the best of our ability. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and it is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. So then how can you hear without a preacher? And a preacher will bring it to you as thus saith the word written. these things are written that you may know and you may believe. You see, when Christ was combating the tempter, Satan, on the mountain in the 40-day fast that he was fasting, Satan waited until he was hungered before he ever come to tempt him. And that's the way Satan works. He comes at your weakest point. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, if Satan can get you with a little leaven, he can leaven the whole lump. If he can get you to stagger at the promises of God, he can get you staggering. He'll have you on your back, flat of your back, and out for the count, because Satan is a master fighter. And the Bible instructs us to put on the whole armor that we might withstand the wiles of the devil and to fight a good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. Well, heaven's cheap at any price, so tonight I'm going to take you into what is described as the secret times of Sabbath. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they're not very well known today. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I know when the Sabbath is. That's on Sunday. Did you know that over 80% of the Christians today worship on the first day of the week? They don't worship on the Sabbath day? Did you know that 20%, approximately 15%, of that remaining 20% worships on Saturday? They call themselves Seventh-day Adventists and Seventh-day Keepers, and meaning that they probably subscribe to the rabbinical calendar of the Jews, and the Jews themselves keep Saturday as the Christians keep Sunday. Therefore, we are grouped into the weekend and then structured around this Saturday-Sunday combination weekend is the business world is attuned to the keeping of or the observing of these days. Most of the world, they cease from their labor either on Friday night, or if you want to work overtime, you cease on Saturday night. If you want to work a double overtime shift, you can work through Sunday, which is called a double overtime. Most companies are geared up to pay you in that respect. Well, the system of the world is geared around Saturday and Sunday especially. Now, the other remaining 5% approximately is the Friday worshipers and the Muslim obedience or observance to those days. Are these days correct? And what about the signs of the times? How do we discern? How about the calendar, Pastor Buddy? Has the calendar been changed down through the centuries? Is there evidence that there has been tampering with the calendar? And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that is a very qualified yes. Both calendars, the rabbinical calendar and the Gregorian calendar, both have been, if you will, have been changed periodically down through the ages. And so then we have a suspect here already. Now, how about the calendar that the Heavenly Father inscribed or inserted into the heavens for us to keep? Well, that hadn't been changed. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the most accurate thing in the heavens is the sun. It gives you a accurate, precise timepiece hanging in the heavens. And we know that the atomic clock system that we have, which is the most accurate of accurate clocks that we have to regulate time to the sun, in keeping of the time, we have to periodically adjust the atomic clock to adjust for the error of the instruments that we have made to keep up time. So the sun is a very valuable timepiece. Well, what about the moon? Well, again, the moon directs a very, very important phase functioning of the two gigantic timepieces that the Father hung in the heavens. Now, let's go back and determine how this is. Now, you know that the sailors at night, ships and navigational purposes and concordances on space flights and things of this nature are coordinated with the stars, the sun, and the moon. And these are the three important factors of timekeeping that is hung in the heavens for mankind. Now, going back to Genesis 1:14, we find in Genesis 1:14 a very interesting verse of scriptures for us to begin to look at in respect to timekeeping. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and for, let them be for signs. That's Strong's number 226. And for seasons, Strong's number 4150, and for days, 3117, and for years. Let them be, again, for signs, seasons, days, and years. Now, the Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, has placed these great lights in the heavens for times, signs, seasons, and days, for periods that are deemed necessary for us to observe as worshipers of the divine creator. Now, we have a problem with timekeeping because it gets to be very complicated when you're trying to divide, if you will, 365 and a quarter days by dividing it by 12. And ladies and gentlemen, this is where the complications or the confusion arises very quickly, because you know that 12 won't divide equally into 365 and a quarter. So there has to be some varying or some allowances made for the revolution to come back to its proper time. Now, we know by the commandments of the Bible that verse 2 of Leviticus 26, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh, and you shall walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now, if you will, you shall give peace, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of your land, neither shall there be any sword go through your land. So you ain't going to fear if you are in commandment and reverence of statutes and keeping of the sacred times. The Father has promised to bless. Now, we know by the, we have in the Bible that Israel, the rebellious, stiff-necked, uncircumcised people as they are, hard-headed sheep, dumb, straying always, following goats, our nature, ladies and gentlemen, that we are very susceptible to what's around us in the world. Sometimes we get preoccupied with things going on in the world. We forget our Heavenly Father from which we are hewn, and we cannot redeem ourselves. So we had to have a Redeemer. He came. And listen in the book of Luke, as we go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and we're going to read you verse, let me start at verse 16. And he, the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, Jesus in the New Testament, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his customs was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, my question to you is, what day did he go into the synagogue? Is it recorded in history? No, it's not. We just know he went in on the Sabbath day as his custom was, so he was a Sabbath keeper. Are you a Sabbath keeper tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Are you sure that by keeping Saturday that you're keeping the Sabbath day? Are you sure by keeping Friday that you're keeping the seventh day? Are you sure by keeping Sunday that you are keeping the seventh day? Well, most Christians will readily admit, oh, no, we're keeping the first day of the week. That's the sacred day because, you see, he rose on the first day of the week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the scriptures to try to clarify or to get some type of answers from the Bible as it is written in the Bible. Now, there is a precious clue to how to keep the times and the signs and the seasons. Now, we're going back to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, if you will, and we're going to establish some of the things that we must keep, and then we will get into the dates that we are to keep them. This is in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we are going to go to verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So there was either a change or an identification. This shall be the beginning of the months. Well, we assume that it was on the first day of the month when he gave them this directive. For he tells us in verse 5, for them to get a lamb without blemish. This is a type of the first year. And you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day. So the instruction must have started on the first day of the month. Now that is what we determine as a new moon. So the first clue here, right out of the bat, is that we are to keep it on the new moon schedule. You say, now, Pastor Buddy, we don't believe in keeping the new moon festival. Well, we'll find out that the Hebrews did it, and they did it correctly according to scriptures. We have strayed away from the old path. And this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're just preaching to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's our mission tonight, for you to return back to the old covenant path and walk in and find rest for your soul. For there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. And such turn away. Study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth from the error or the tradition of the world. Verse 14, and this day, what day? Well, we know that we were to keep it up until the 14th day of the same month at the evening, and then the Passover lamb will be killed in the evening of the 14th day, meaning that there was a period from 3 o'clock where Christ died at the ninth hour on the torture stake. If you get your time hours correctly brought up, then you'll know that it was at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. in the evening, as it began the two evenings. There's two evenings, from 3 to 6, and then from 6 till dark, and then you have the two evenings. So the lamb was to be killed somewhere between 3 and 6. The Christ, the sacrificial lamb that was in a natural state, or in the body state, was killed at 3 o'clock. He died exactly at the ninth hour. And so then, this is typing and typical of the connections back to the sacred festivals that the Father said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be unto you the first month of the year. Speak unto the congregation and tell them that in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, why then was he to direct them to take a lamb on the 10th day? Well, it's very wonderful that we know from the scriptures that the Father, having the foresight, knew exactly that there would be 10 tribes in the north that would be what we call the wandering tribes, would wander out into history and become very obscured or lost or forgotten. And they are known in the Bible, even in the days of Christ, as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Where are they? Who are they? And where have they gone to is a very important, very relative to the day. We believe in the last days that those lost sheep shall be found, because he said, I will send hunters and fishermen. And as it is noted in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 25 and 26, he said that there shall be an awakening, because blindness in part has happened to Israel, not the Jews. Now let me repeat that. It doesn't say that blindness is part has happened to the Jews. Most people teach that the Gentiles are being saved today and that the Jews are blinded. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. It is the Israelites that are blinded, and the Jews are reigning as God's chosen people. There is a problem that this preacher has with that particular thought process, because the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. And we know and understand that the scriptures is full of errors that people have made by assuming. We cannot assume. We must prove all things by the gospel. Now, in Joshua chapter 4, we're going to find out why the 10 tribes, the 10 lost tribes, with the 10th day of the festival of Passover. The 10th day was a holy day. And on that 10th day, we were to take a lamb on the 10th day every man a lamb according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for a house. And they shall keep it up until the 14th day. So the 4 days between the 10th day and the 14th day is symbolic. The 4 days is the lamb is put up to rest. Take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart, fail to enter into his rest. Now, what is the rest? It is the sacred day, because the fourth commandment is the Sabbath day commandment. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How, Pastor Buddy, are we sure of the time dates? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a formula tonight, if we have time, and I certainly hope that we do. I'll give you a formula that will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been lied to, not only by the Pharisaical calendars and the Gregorian calendars, where that they have sought to change times and laws. Now, this is a diabolical plot to take out of timekeeping. It is very important to keep the appointments. The Father has promised in his word that he would keep the appointment or the appointed time. Now, the Father's always on time. He may seem late, but he's there on his time. Now, this day is a sacred day. It is set aside that you are to do no servile work therein, and you are to keep it as a perpetual statute throughout your generations. That's the commandments. Now, notice here, and the Book of Joshua, chapter 4, only known by the Heavenly Father as they were coming into the land of milk and honey. This is after they'd wandered for 40 years. Yahshua, a type of Christ, the Savior, bringing them into the land of milk and honey, is just now crossing the Jordan River, and they took 12 stones, which typifies the 12 tribes. Stone is the name of the tribes, because the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name given under heaven, whereby that we can be saved. And this is the name, the stone, that was set in all of you builders. Christ spake in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Have you never read, the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that they left out the true name and put in an artificial, yes, artificial, a concealed or a conceived name to be concealed and hidden in deception? The Bible said that the whole world wondered after a name of blasphemy. Is there a name in the Bible that was given for a saving name that could be possibly a name of blasphemy? That could not be correct. Is it possible that the true divine name was left out of the scriptures and obscured and changed, and now that time has took its toll and tradition has moved in, and Christ said in his warning, full well, you reject the commandments of God to keep your own tradition. Is it possible then that we have been lied to from the dark ages of Rome? That the people that preferred a Roman god, a Greek god, and this Greek god was Zeus. Is it possible that these leaders, we're talking about the Caesars, we know of Constantine in 325 AD as he convened the bishop's council in Constantinople, and there they actually plotted and planned, and a major deception was placed there in that council that they had in 325 A.D. Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that they came out with an artificial name or a name of blasphemy and applied it? Now, what would that name be, Pastor Buddy, and what does that have to do with the Sabbath? Well, let me tell you that the Bible said, take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart, depart from the living God or the God that serves the living, because he's not a God of the dead. He says, I know that you have a name that you're dead. Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that you have been given a name that could quite well possibly be a name that is not correct? Is it possible that in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations, let us read, and there was a name of blasphemy, a name of blasphemy, and this beast that rose up out of the earth, and we're talking about the fourth beast to rise, was the fourth, which was the Roman Empire, and when she arose up, this beast power was so powerful, and the Bible said it caused all of the world to wonder after the beast and the power. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast, Strong's number 2342, rise up out of the sea. Now the sea is the people, a mass of people. Well, it just so happens that Christianity covers the globe. And this Christian doctrine has been taught from pillar to post, and the earth has been saturated with this gospel of the Christian gospel for hundreds of years. It just so happens that in the 15th century that these protesters called Protestants broke from a group of people called Catholic or Catholicism, as it is noted, and the word Catholic means universal. And so at that time, there was one Christian church, and she was the great universal church of Christianity. And yet, in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations, it is written, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, said, come up here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore. So in the 17th chapter, there is a particular interesting scripture here that this great body, this great church, would rise up out of the earth among the people and become a whore. She was a prostitute. She would get in the bed with any dogma, any doctrine, just so that it was a communal doctrine with Christ. Now the word Christ means anointed. And the Bible says there's many anti-anointed or many anti-Christ that will come up. And even so, the apostolic fathers wrote, even so now there is many anti-Christ or anti-anointed. The word Christ simply means in the Greek term anointed. So there are many anointed deceivers in the world. And the Bible said for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. Here's the great whore that corrupts the whole earth and that has committed fornication with the kings and the inhabitants of the earth and has made the inhabitants drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, church, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. This is the great Roman Empire. And the Bible speaks of four Babylonian empires that would rise up out of the earth. You had your Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar. And then you had the Medo-Persian Empire to overtake the first king and subdue that. And then for a short space. And then we had what we call the Greek Empire from Greece, and they ruled. And then we had the Roman Empire come up, and the Bible says that the feet was part iron and the legs was part clay, and that they would think to mingle themselves with the holy people. And in 7:25 of the book of Daniel, it says there that they would think to change the times and laws. This great whore would raise up a bring in another day of worship. And ladies and gentlemen, the deception is on now, and it would cause all the world, in Christianity especially, where we talk about those who believe in Christ. The Bible says, and many will say to me in that day, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful things? And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you're not saved by your good works. You're saved by being right, not by your works. So righteousness belongeth to them who have the keys to the kingdom. And he said, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, thou art Peter, and I say unto you, upon this rock... Or upon this name. Now, is it possible that the mighty name of the Almighty God, the magnificent, magnanimous, almighty, powerful name of the true divine Hebrew God, was covered over and concealed with names of blasphemy? Have they hid it in three measures of meal? Has the truth been obscured to your understanding? Do you have trouble understanding what it's talking about in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations? The woman was arrayed in scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, meaning that she would take and accept anything into the church as long as that parishioner would pay indulgences to the Pope. Here it is. And so he carried me away in the spirit, and I saw a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. Now, in 13:1, listen as I read again. And I saw a beast come up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So then there is a central name that is going to deceive the whole world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is the name of the principal god of Rome? What was the principal god deity of Greece? What was this almighty god? Now, it's just a mythical god today, but is that name still being called upon in devout worshipers who bow to stones, idols, and statues all over the earth? Ladies and gentlemen, this war will bring a name of blasphemy upon the scene. If you go back to your original Bible, you will find the name Jesus does not exist. J-E-S-U-S is not recorded in the original 1611 Bible because there was no J's. And so then in the language, we have a problem here with the language because there is no J's either in the Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. There was none in the English until 1702. And so the name could not have been written Jesus. So Paul, when he was in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, he could have not called upon Jesus as is stated there, because the Bible said the Holy Spirit spoke from heaven in the Hebrew tongue. So then there was no language letter in the Hebrew for saying Jesus in the Greek. For Jesus, there was no J's for that letter. Here it is in the 26th chapter. As we go to the book of Acts, let me go there very quickly as we are in the Sabbath-keeping mode. We're going to get down to the formula as we start this very important series on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, WWCR on 3.210, every Sunday night at 11 Eastern, 10 Central. So join me next Sunday night as we will be in fellowship in Andrews, North Carolina, and we will give you more information as we will do the show live on site at the Feast Fellowship in Andrews, North Carolina, with a lot of our brethren joining us in the fellowship. Notice in the scripture share, and when I had fallen to the ground, to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue. In the Hebrew tongue. Saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, they were actually persecuting this Hebrew God, or the disciples. Paul was arresting them, those that would call upon the name of Yahweh. You mean that Jesus wasn't pronounced in that day? No, he wasn't. You see, there was no Jesus in this day of Acts 26. And so he spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue and said, why are you persecuting me? And notice in verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Very interesting. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Now, how ignorant do they think we are, the translators, as they have translated this verse of Scripture incorrectly? Ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't have said, I am Jesus, because Jesus is not a Hebrew name. It is not a Greek name, with the exception of some manipulation to get it to be Greek, and therein lies the deceit of taking you out of times and seasons and to call upon a false name. All of it is tied diabolically together by Satan and the evil ones, who the Bible said would come in unaware and smite the shepherds and scatter the sheep. Well, there was a great Roman persecution against the apostolic fathers, as well as the Jews who trailed after the disciples to give their voice and to persecute them wherever they preached the gospel. In the divine name of Yahweh, the YHVH is the sacred tetragrammaton, and it's written in the Bible approximately in the Old Testament alone, wherever you see capital L-O-R-D, you will find it is a substitute for YHVH. Now you say, Pastor Buddy, well, what difference does it make? God knows who he is. The important thing is, do you know who he is? How can you call on him in whom you've not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? Now, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, there is a very important there for you to understand and comprehend, and you need to read Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, for in it it is stated that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you. So then faith comes by the knowledge of the Word. The Bible said to study to show yourself approved. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not take time to study, if you don't pray and fast and seek the mighty one of Jacob Israel, the great God, the great I am, Christ said in the Scriptures, I am come in my Father's name. John 5:43. If the Father's name was Yahweh, YHVH, what would the Son's name be? It couldn't have been Jesus, because there is a complete opposite of the reality of truth in transliteration. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the names are not translated, they are transliterated. I'll give you an example. President George W. Bush, when he flies very soon to Russia, his name in Russia will be George W. Bush. When Gorbachev, when he came to America to meet Ronald Reagan, Mr. Mikhail Gorbachev in America, his name was Mikhail Gorbachev. You see, so languages are not changed in translating of the name. They use transliteration, and that is sound for sound to the letters applied to each language for the sound. And have they not heard? Verily, the sound of his name went throughout the whole earth. And in Romans 9, the Bible said, for this cause I have raised Pharaoh up to declare my great name throughout the earth. Moses found out what it was in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when he declared, I am that I am, or I am Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. Christ said, if you do not believe that I am, and we emphasize the I am as a positive verb to be the self-existent one, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, or therein lays the great name of Yahweh. This name has been known for centuries. If you get you a Hebrew Bible, 5,823 times his name alone is rendered YHVH in the Bible, in the Hebrew. Why is it has been translated to Lord? Well, it's simple, because in the book of Joshua, chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, he said, they have caused my people to forget my name for Baal, B-A-A-L. If you look in the causative form of the name meaning, if you go to any good Bible dictionary and look up the word B-A-A-L, it says the Lord, Canaanite, storm god. And so then, Lord is directed to Baal. Baal is a substitute with the word Lord in the English Bible. It is a substitute for the Y-H-V-H. Now, we have deception to a layered core that keeps going right down to the root of the problem, for when they begin to call on Zeus. Notice in the 14th or the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, I'm going to give you a verse of scripture and show you that the name Jesus and the name Zeus was synonymous, or it was translated the same way, or transliterated the same way. Now, look at Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Pahos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is this the Son of God who had the highest name in the universe? Is Jesus really the name above all names? Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 1, as we read and find out what the scripture says about this divine name, and you should read what it tells you about this divine name, as we go to the first chapter, and we're going to read verse 4, being so much better than the angels. Christ was better than the angels. Remember, man is a little lower, and Christ was better. That means he was above the angels. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, when Jacob, whose name after the wrestling with the angel was named or changed to Israel, which means a prince with Yah. How many ways do you say Yah in hallelujah, Strong's? Will indicate that the Bible is full of the covenant name of Yah. Psalms 68:4, praise him that rideth upon the heavens by his wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent name, Yah. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the name that was set aside. And we inserted a name of Zeus. Now this name, Jesus, now has matured or evolved down to its present day deception, where all of the world and Christianity calls upon this false name. What is the great name of the king? What is the highest mountain chain upon the planet? The Himalayas, which is the highest mountain, to give him praise and let the mountains bow before him. That heaven and earth adore him, and let the angels worship him by this more excellent name, and the tallest trees that clap their hands, the Sequoia. And ladies and gentlemen, the traditional heritage of the great name of Yahweh, wherever language upon the earth says it in the same way, praise ye Yah, Strong's, will indicate that that name Yah is above every name. 3068 in your Bible will show you. Now, when Strong's are writing the Bible or doing the concordance, breaking down the Hebrew word, he knew that the name was not Jehovah. But Jehovah had become a very familiar translation, if you will, and yet your Bibles will tell you today that Jehovah is erroneous. If you will get an open Bible, an open King James Bible, it will declare unto you on page 72 that Jehovah is erroneous and should have been rendered Yahweh, or YHVH. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in for deception to layers where that they will kill you thinking that they're doing God a service, as many will say in that day, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And he shall say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And then they gone through the aisles, they found a false prophet whose name was Bar Jesus. Bar in Hebrew is son. A son of Jesus? I doubt it. Did Jesus have offspring, the Son of God? Or were there others in the aisle that were named this name? And we will opt for the latter. This name was pronounced Iesus. Now, when the Roman hordes, when the armies marched under the banner of Rome, when they marched out into the aisles and out into the British Isles and out into all the world, then with them went the Catholic priest. And when the people asked what God they served and what name that they should call upon, because they reverenced the Roman legions and their armies so powerful that they admired the God that they served, and they said, what is his name? And they said, just say, Jesus. And so then became the tradition of when people prayed, they would say, Jesus. And the Roman Catholic priests would put their hand over their mouth and snigger as they would insert the God, the Greek God, for the Hebrew God, Yahweh. And so the stone that was rejected by the builders being the translators of the word, as they translated the Hebrew scriptures from the original Hebrew and Greek into Latin, ladies and gentlemen, the Mass was said in Latin up till the 13th century, and the Bibles that were printed were kept chained to the podiums simply because that they dared not let the masses of the people read the scriptures, for they may find out the deception. And by this time, through the Dark Ages, where that they had told the Christian people that the name of their God was Jesus, then the tradition started, and now the truth has been set aside, a lie has been put in its place, and a name of blasphemy installed. When they call on him today, they are using the name that is a hybrid, that is not the true name of Almighty Yahweh. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. Strong's will indicate this in the book of Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. It says in the original Hebrew, thou shalt not profane or take in vain the name of Yahweh. Is there a God beside me? Yea, I know not any, saith Yahweh in Isaiah 44, 6. In Isaiah 43 and 10, it says, I am Yahweh. There is no God beside me. I am your Savior. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be you saved, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. So this Hebrew God, by his own divine name, was taken out of the New Testament, and now the old parchment, the Old Testament, has been changed and altered to where now that we call good evil and evil good. The time will come that they will kill you, thinking that they're doing God a service, and their God that they serve, they are. Let me show you in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22. It says there, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, what's in a name? What's in a day? What's in a sign? And what's in a time? I'm going to be back, and I'm going to finish up on this amazing secret times and a secret name. Do you have a name that you live by? But remember, the Bible says, have you tried them that say they are Jews and are not, and have found them to be liars? Have you tried the Roman Empire? Are you sure that you are on the right date, at the right place, at the right time, with the right name? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the Hebrew God, and Jacob served the Hebrew God Yahweh. Abraham served the Hebrew God Yahweh. Adam called upon the Hebrew God Yahweh. For in the Bible, it is indicated throughout 5,823 times where you see capitalization, L-O-R-D, his name is Y-H-V-H. You better get used to the ideal. You better listen to the shepherd. You better hear the call tonight as we're on here with the truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They don't care to set you free with a false name, but you can be made free with a true name. This is the stone, Peter, Acts 4:11 and 12. Read it for yourself. This is the stone. The stone was the name. This is the name that was set in all. What name? The name Jesus? No, the name Jesus got in the Bible. The name Jehovah? No, the name Jehovah got in there seven times. Well, then what was the name that was rejected? The name Yahweh. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You have none. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. I've been really, really thrilled to be with you tonight. I hope you've enjoyed the message. This is not your average Christian message. This is a message of truth. This is a message of salvation. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby that we must be saved. The Son said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. Now, if the Father's name was Yahweh, what would the Son's name be? Simple, isn't it? And yet, it's so complicated that the Bible said, I'll work a work, but I'm among you in that day that you will not believe, though a man declare it unto you. You see, the world has gone so far back in tradition and deception and deceit, and so is the layers of deception in this false movement of Christianity to the point where the truth has been set aside through tradition. You better come back to the old path, and when you see it or when you find it, walk in. How can you hear without a preacher? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh, it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 9. And when they went before him, these are the Hebrews, you know what they said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. The Son said, I am come in my Father's name. I and my Father are one. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have the name in your forehead tonight of the book of Revelations as we close chapter 14, verse 1? And I saw a lamb stand up on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their forehead. Do you have the name? Do you know the name? Are you satisfied that you've got the name? Jesus is a great God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will spell Suez backwards, you'll see how that they have invoked the name of blasphemy upon you without you realizing. Did you know that the name of the Egyptian deity was Ea, and that the Greek god was Zeus? And the Greek name for the Savior that they have in modern Bibles is Jesus. Now, it has been hibernated down to Jesus. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You have none. And these, they are they that testify me. Write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. I'll give it to you again just in a moment. If you'd like to call me tonight, call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'm live. This is the 19th day of May. This is Sunday night. I'm on WWCR 3.210. I'm live and direct, so you can call me right after the broadcast. I'll take your call. That is Pastor Buddy. Telephone number 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to write me again, the Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Tazewell is spelled T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. And remember, if you just put the zip on it, 37824, the letter will get to Pastor Buddy. So, this is Pastor Buddy. I've been so thankful to be with you tonight. Blessings to you in the great name of the King. And Yahweh bless you is my prayer tonight. I've enjoyed being with you. I'll be joining you next Sunday night on 12.160 on WWCR at 5 o'clock Central Time. And we have much more information that's available to you. If you'd like to have our videotapes, just simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Well, I'm out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Jacob Israel, Yahweh bless you and keep yourself from idols.
Hope you'll join us this evening from 8 to 9.